Thanks, David. Good morning, guys. Wow. Was that awesome or what?
Yes.
Jeez. Let's just keep this going. Unsinkable. That was the word to describe a famous ship. You may have heard of it. Unsinkable. In the midst of all the advertising and all the, you know, big deal that was made of it and the press and word of mouth and on the radio, unsinkable was used again and again and again. Unsinkable. But as you and I know, on April 14th, 112 years ago today, at 11:40 p.m., the Titanic, that was so unsinkable, struck an iceberg. And for the lives of over 2,200 people, what they put their trust in let them down. Unsinkable. When was a time that you were confident in something and it failed you? It promised you that everything would be okay. You put your trust in this, only for it to strike an iceberg, only for it to let you down. Or maybe it was a person that you placed that trust in, or this relationship. Surely this is the way for me. I can put all my trust into it. It won't let me down, only for that trust to be broken. What seemed unsinkable to you sunk. Your job, your relationships, your finances. What has let you down? When it comes to God's word, this Bible that we have, the 66 books written over 1,500 years, 40 different authors over different regions and walks of life, this book that we use this word for, we say it's inspired, it's created by God. When it comes to this book that you have in your hands or the app on your phone or the book that's in the seat back in front of you, we proclaim that this will not sink. It's unsinkable. But sometimes there's this fear deep down, maybe if you're honest with yourself. You go, what if we strike an iceberg? What if there's this secret book that comes out and it proves that God's word is wrong? What if we find out some error in the manuscripts over the years and it's not true? What if what I put my hope and my trust in sinks? And the answer to this question affects everything. If we believe this book called the Bible, that means we've been called to put our whole lives into it. And if you don't believe this book called the Bible, it means that you also don't believe in the Jesus that it proclaims. The stakes are huge when it comes to the answer of, can I trust the Bible? Can I trust the Bible, or will it sink on me? So to answer this question today, we're going to be in a few different places, but we're going to start with the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll be starting in verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's Bibles, as we said, in the seat back in front of you. You can swipe there on your phone. However we do it, it'll be on the screens. But let's see what God's word has to say, and we're going to ask ourselves this question, can I trust the Bible? And so if you are ready to go, if you're ready to dive in, if you're ready to ask this question, you're ready to see what God has for you this morning, can you say I'm ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's pray as we continue our time. So God, we just love you. This was powerful, Lord, getting to be in this room. getting to praise you. Jesus, we love you. And Lord, I thank you that we can even say those words. We can even proclaim that to you. If this stuff is true, this is all-encompassing, life-changing. It's chain-breaking. And we just praise you and stand in awe of you this morning. So thank you. Lord, would you continue to meet with each person here this morning and online? Lord, you've got a good, pleasing, and perfect plan in their lives. It's not by coincidence they're here this morning. You'll love them so deeply. So Lord, as we ask ourselves this question about your word, can we trust it? Would you speak? Would you lead? Would you move? Whether we've been walking with you for 75 years, or whether we come into here this morning saying, I don't know if I buy this Jesus stuff, and anywhere in between, would you meet us here? We love you. Jesus, we love you. It's in your name we pray this. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16. And before we open that up, we're going to tell you our main point this morning, this overarching theme, and it is this: based on multiple layers of evidence, we can trust that the Bible is indeed God's word to us. It won't sink. Our first point, though, when we say, why can I trust the Bible, is this: we can trust the Bible because of what the Bible says about itself. Now, we're not going to stay there, but we're going to start there, what the Bible says about itself. So look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 16, and it starts with, what's the first word, by the way, that you're going to say? All scripture. So this is Genesis 1 to Revelation. Uh-oh, I set myself up. Is there 22 chapters in Revelation? Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation is God breathed. This is this incredible word. God breathed. It came from God. He was the origin. He was the source. He was intimately involved in this thing we have called the Bible. God's care and concern and compassion is throughout. His fingerprints are throughout this because he wrote it. It's God breathed. It's God inspired. It makes me think about in Genesis what happens when he creates man. He breathes life into him. There's care, compassion, intimately involved in this thing we have. So it's God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I love this. It's useful, right? This isn't a wasted book. You're not wasting your time if you're reading this. If you're maybe, you say, hey, I'm skeptical, I'm on the fence. Wait, just try it out. See what happens. This book is useful. We're telling you. It's useful. And what is it useful for? You help for teaching. So any of us in this room, if you have influence, you are a teacher with your kids, with your family, with your neighbors, your coworkers. You have influence. You're a teacher. It's useful for rebuking and correcting because that is needed in our world, and training in righteousness. As you read God's word, you are building up that muscle of getting to know him more, getting to grow with him. It's useful for training in righteousness. But I love this next part, verse 17, so that, all right, so this is a purpose statement, all right, all scripture, it's God breathed, it's useful for these things. Okay, so what, Paul, who's writing this, so what? Well, the purpose of this is so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped. I love that. Not just partially equipped for every good work. God's word is meant to give you the tools that you need to be able to live the life that he has for you specifically and individually. So that the word, servant of God, may be thoroughly equipped. I'll never forget when I was a kid, I was on this camping trip. And I found something super cool just on the ground in the woods. It was really, really exciting for me. I was 8, 9, 10 years old. And I stoop down and I pick it up, and it's a Swiss Army knife. There's all these cool things you can do with a Swiss Army knife that I would never need as an 8-year-old kid. I've got a can opener, and I've got like 7 different things I can use to whittle wood and all this cool stuff, and there's a toothpick in it. I didn't use a toothpick because there's no telling where that thing came from. But there's all these different things that you can do with this Swiss Army knife, right? It's multiple. It equips you for everything that you could possibly need. And I think about God's word, and Paul's saying in this, hey, I'm going to equip you with just what you need. And a lot of you are going through some hard things right now. And to cast aside God's word, say I can do this on my own, it's like taking the toothpick out of that Swiss Army knife and saying, all right, we'll see what happens. But when you pick up God's word, he's given you those tools. Again, just what you need to thoroughly equip you. God's not going to leave you ill-equipped. And again, some of you are facing some really hard things. As a parent, as an employee, as a friend, he wants to thoroughly equip you. This God who God breathed, he breathed out these scriptures because, again, he's so intimately involved in this word, this Bible that he created. That same God is also completely, totally wants to be involved in your life and giving you what you need. Why can I trust the Bible? What the Bible says about itself to start with. God breathed. Some of you may be already thinking of different passages. Hebrews 4, the word of God, it's living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. We see all these passages throughout Scripture that talk about what God's word is, that it is inspired, that it is God breathed, that it comes from him. So we start there because what the Bible says about itself. Well, why else can we trust the Bible? Point number 2, we can trust the Bible because what Jesus says about it. What Jesus says about it. There's this incredible passage in Luke chapter 4. So Jesus, he is 30 years old. He starts his official ministry. He gets baptized by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit comes down. It's this beautiful thing, descends on him like a dove. And then it says the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. And he didn't eat for 40 days. Anybody skip breakfast today? And that was hard, right? And then you see the biggest, the biggest understatement, I think, of Scripture is that after 40 days, he began to be hungry. Yeah, I'll say. And it says that the devil came to tempt him. There's an acronym that you've probably heard or maybe have heard. You know, we're most prone to temptation when we're hungry, angry, lonely, tired. So the devil tries to come to Jesus after 40 days of not eating. And he tempts him in 3 different ways. So the first one is this. He says, hey, you're hungry, Jesus. Look at these stones. Turn them into bread. You can do that. Go ahead and turn them into bread. Well, check out what Jesus says to this. Luke 4:4. Jesus answered, it is written. What's he talking about there? He's quoting the book of Deuteronomy. He is quoting Scripture. He says, it is written. He's saying, hey, I'm going to use Scripture because Scripture is powerful and authoritative, and I'm going to cling on to that in the midst of my temptation. It is written. And then he quotes Deuteronomy, man shall not live on bread alone, Specific passage, specific context in Deuteronomy. Now, the end of the book of John, another gospel, it tells us the whole world couldn't be filled with everything that Jesus did and said in a book. They just couldn't include it all. It was so much. And so Matthew, in Matthew chapter 4, included Jesus' words at the end of this, but every word that comes from the mouth of God, which finishes the verse Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy. So what's implicit in Luke is explicit in Matthew. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. This is how we live. This is how we function. You and I don't live by bread alone. We need so much more than that. We need so much more than the breakfast and the Pop-Tarts you had this morning. We need every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We need what's God-breathed. But Satan's not done with Jesus. He gives him a second temptation. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, hey, this will be yours if you just bow down and worship me. What do you think are the three words that Jesus says next before we throw it up there? It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Once again, straight from Deuteronomy. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. By the way, do you notice that Jesus wasn't like, hold on, Satan, let me pull out one of my scrolls from Deuteronomy. Let me just flip to... No, right? He has this in his heart. He has this internalized. He knows it because he spent time in it, spent time knowing the word. When you and I don't go through temptation, we're not like, hey, hold on a second, Satan. Let me pull up my app and find where was that verse I read? No, right? You gotta have it in your heart. And so Satan tries one more thing, and he takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. So we're in Jerusalem, and he says, hey, throw yourself down from this temple, because everyone's gonna love it. They're gonna see you. But here's something different that Satan did in round three that he didn't do in rounds one and two. He says, for it is written. And he starts quoting Psalm 91. And he says, hey, it says here, the angels are going to catch you. Your foot's not going to hit a stone. They're going to catch you. You're going to be good to go. And everyone's going to worship you. They're going to be made a big deal. This is so interesting. Satan himself knows scripture. If you and I believe this Bible stuff, according to 1 Peter, I believe it's chapter 5, it says that there's an enemy, Satan, who's like a roaring lion. He's seeking for someone to devour. In John 10, it says that he's seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. You are facing a real battle. Do you really want to come at it with a toothpick? Jesus responds, well, we can kind of skip that next slide where I already just paraphrased that stuff. So yeah, so Psalm 91, go to the next one though. What does Jesus say? Well, he ends it with, somehow I didn't include it. But Jesus ends it with, get out of here. And he says again, it is written. It is written, you are going to worship God and God alone. He quotes Deuteronomy once again. Oh, thank you. Verse 12. It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. That's not part of God's plan for me. But do you notice three times what Jesus does? It is written. It is written. Finally, it is said. He's quoting God's words because he is acknowledging that they are what have authority and power in his life. Why can we trust the Bible? We can trust it because of what Jesus says about it too. And you could take a deep dive and you see multiple places throughout the Gospels where Jesus acknowledges from Genesis through the end of the Old Testament and all the way through and what's to come. It says this is what Scripture says. Is. Why do we believe the Bible is true? Because what the Bible says about itself, because what Jesus says about it. Point number three, what scholars say about it. What scholars say about it. And you know what? From here, we're going to pull up this passage, 1 Peter 3:15. I love this passage. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So here's the deal. What we're told from God's word is this. Make sure you know why you believe what you believe. It's okay to know all these wonderful facts about the Bible. We're gonna in a second, I'm gonna say share a couple facts. We could spend all day here going over the beauty of looking at God's word from a scholarly perspective, about how it's been transmitted and preserved and without error. That's important. Be equipped with these things. But first and foremost, the reason why we believe these things is because of the hope that we have in us. And then be prepared. Be prepared to share that with others. Because people are going to see your life, and they're going to go, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. I want what they have. Hey, why are you so different? You get to say, let me tell you. Let me give you an answer for the hope that is within me. Oh, and by the way, too, here's some really cool things about this Bible that I believe. Be ready to give an answer, because as you live out God's word, people are going to ask you, where does that hope come from? And I love it. It says, do this with gentleness and respect, right? We're not banging people over the head with a Bible. Gentleness, respect. So point number three, what scholars say about it. And then first subpoint with that. So accuracy and preservation. Accuracy and preservation. We're gonna throw up a quote on the screen here from a guy who's gonna say it a lot better than I can when it comes to this idea of the accuracy of Scripture. And he says this: as I have dealt with one apparent discrepancy after another, and I've studied the alleged contradictions between the biblical record and the evidence of linguistics, archaeology, or science, my confidence in the trustworthiness of Scripture has been repeatedly verified and strengthened. This is Gleason Archer. He was a professor of Old Testament Semitic languages. So here's another way to put it. As the Bible comes across these different icebergs, so to speak, in our path, like, hey, did you know that this was written way, way, way later? Or this was written by somebody else? Or, oh, have you seen these hidden books? As we come across these supposed icebergs, the Bible time and time again just runs right through them. And again, you can do as much of a deep dive as you want. It's fascinating. It'll only build your faith. We've referenced a few times in this series, evidence that demands a verdict. It's a great way to go. You can go as deep as you want with this. But here's the deal. This book has been the most looked over and read and analyzed from people who believe and people who don't. The most critiqued. This book has been they tried to get rid of it because it was causing such a problem, right? Let's get it off the face of the planet. And time again, God's word has stood the test. And again, we could go over 100 different things. Time wouldn't permit us for that. And so here's actually what we've done. We've given you a sheet. Some of you, as you walked in, as you walk out, you can get it if you didn't get it yet. But our greeters, who are wonderful, we'll have this for you. 10 reasons to believe the Bible. Why we believe the Bible is God's authoritative, infallible revelation to us. I want to encourage you to grab one of those on your way out and just keep digging. Keep asking yourself questions, because the Bible can take your questions. We'll get more to that later. So next thing on here is the preservation. So let's look at this, the preservation of Scripture. So we're going to throw up this graphic on the screen. This is kind of cool. Okay, so 1st, 2nd century, 3rd century, right? So Greek writing, the average Greek writer during that time, the amount of manuscripts that have been saved, that we have copies of, all right, 4 feet, whatever that is, like 4 feet high, if you were to just pile them up on top of each other. Right, 4 feet, okay, that's not too bad, right? Like Homer's Iliad or whatever. Okay, 4 feet, that's good. Okay, well, you know, you look at the comparison, two-story house, Statue of Liberty, Empire State Building. Okay, look how many copies of New Testament manuscripts we have. It's a mile high. That means it's been copied again and again and again and again. Now, you think that many copies, there'd be maybe big differences from. Here's what's so beautiful about this. There's hardly anything. The overlap is incredible, and you stack these up, and it's a mile high. The book that you hold, or what's on your app on your phone, is the most well-preserved book in the history of the world. Again, I'm only giving you a little droplets, right? This is, you can go as deep as you want. You can feast on this. It'll only build your faith. If you're saying, hey, I don't know if I buy this Jesus stuff, I encourage you to get into it as far as, see what the stuff's all about. Study it for yourself. This book has been the most persecuted and yet the most preserved. And we see every iceberg that it comes across. It just goes right through it. Next, as far as what scholars say about it, is impact. And look at this quote that we have here when it comes to impact. And this is by Robert Alter. Oh, yeah, we'll go back to that in a second. But go to that quote, if you could, for me. The Bible's influence on Western culture cannot be overstated. Its moral, legal, and philosophical principles have shaped the development of Western civilization, providing a foundation for ethical thought, political theory, social institutions. This is Robert Alter. He's a professor of Hebrew and comparative literature, and as far as I understand, not a follower of Jesus. So one other thing that we can't deny about the Bible is its impact in our culture, its impact in our society. We see it throughout. But here's honestly what I will say is the biggest testimony that at least I have for the Bible. And that's the hope that is within me. We can talk about facts and figures all day long, and it's kind of fun. But the hope that is in me is the biggest testimony that I can give you. That's why go back to that verse, if you could, please, that Romans 15 verse. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. This weekend, I went through just a really stressful day a couple days ago. And just earlier in Romans 15, Paul talks about, too, just the hardship and persecution, and you get to this passage. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so we might have hope. And earlier in Romans 5, there's this incredible verse, that therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Spirit he has given us. I told myself that verse, and that made all the difference for me. It was a really stressful thing I went through a couple days ago and some stressful news. What didn't comfort me was, oh, look at all the manuscript evidence. What didn't comfort me was, oh, look at the facts and the figures. Those are incredible. But what comforted me in that moment was the personal testimony of God's word inside of me and the hope that I have in me. You're going through hard times. What is coming out of you in the midst of that? Do you need hope today? That hope is found in Jesus. Because the Bible points to Jesus again and again and again. It is all about him. Why can I trust the Bible? Because of what it says about itself. Because of what Jesus says about it. And yeah, what scholars and others say about it. But also because of the hope that is within us. So what's your next step today? What do you do? Well, if you don't know this Jesus, we want to encourage you to come to know him today. In a little bit, in a few moments, I'm going to invite the prayer team up and come talk to them. Let them know, hey, I want to follow Jesus. I want today to be the day. He loves you. He cares about you. He died on the cross for you and rose from the grave for you. You don't have to have all the answers yet. Just go up. Start the conversation. Let today be the day. Also, too, we want to give you a resource that you could look up. So just YouVersion Bible app. They've got this thing, How to Read the Bible. And it's pretty sweet. It's like 2 weeks worth of just how to read the Bible. If you say, hey, I want to get into spending time in God's Word more and reaching for God's Word on a daily basis, check this out. Download it. It's on the YouVersion. Just search how to read the Bible. It's through the Bible Project. It's phenomenal. But if you search for it on YouVersion, you can have a daily thing. Just go a little deeper, and it's going to equip you how to read the Bible. One more thing is, hey, get around people who know God's Word. Get around people who love God's Word and have Bibles open too. Get involved in a group. Join a group. And maybe God's tapping on your heart to even lead a group. Because as we continue to grow, we keep on needing more groups to get people in, which is exciting. So if that's you, if you want to join a group or lead a group, go to vvcc.online/groups or go to the Information Center. I want to end with this. So my boy's walking now. He's walking a lot. He's walking all over the place. It's great. And it, you know what? It feels like it just happened like overnight. But you know what? It didn't. It didn't just happen overnight. It took time. It took falling and stumbling and hurting himself a few times. It took the crawling. It took the whole process. Can you imagine if while Micah was crawling or stumbling around, I said, what's your problem? Come on, kid. Maybe you're hearing this stuff and you're beating yourself up. Oh, I don't know the Bible. I don't read it. Can I say, you got to start crawling somewhere, right? You got to crawl before you walk. You got to walk before you run. Just start. Take that next step. See what happens. God's not disappointed in you, looking down on you. Why aren't you running? Hey, just start crawling. Open his word. See what happens. Well, hey, if you are new or newer here, we're so glad you're here. There's a Connect card in the seat back in front of you. Fill that out. Turn into the Information Center. We've got a goodie bag for you, and we're just so glad that you are here. We believe it's not by coincidence that God's brought you here this morning. We have a prayer team every week that's up there for you. Again, if God's tapping on your heart saying, hey, I want to know this Jesus, or if there's anything we'd be praying about for you, they're going to be over there. There's also prayer cards in the seat back in front of you. And hey, maybe you say, hey, I want to know this Jesus, but I'm a little bit nervous to go over there. Write it on the prayer card. But just know our staff and our prayer team prays over these cards that you put in. It's been super encouraging, too, to see how many of you are filling out those prayer cards. So VVCC, let's get on the ship. The rescue ship of being on mission with Jesus and his church. Get into his word. We can trust it. And let God thoroughly equip you for every good work that he has for you. He knows what he's doing in your life. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we love you. Thank you for this time. Jesus, thank you for this incredible gift you've given us. You've given us the Bible. And Lord, we thank you that it's God-breathed. We thank you, Lord, for what you've said, Jesus, about it. We thank you, God, for the different things that we get excited about too as well that just continue to just feed and build our faith about these cool facts and all that. But God, just thank you for the hope that you have given us, the hope in us. So Lord, be with each one of my friends, wherever they're at. Would you let them know you love them, you care about them, and the same God that gave us this God-breathed word cares so deeply about them. So, Lord, we love you. We give the rest of this day to you. Be glorified with it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys, have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next week as we talk about doubtless about Jesus. Come on back. Bring a friend. Love you guys.